Look at Matthew. Matthew chapter number 18 is where we're going to be. Matthew chapter number 18. We've been continuing a series on the parables of Jesus. And tonight's no exception as we continue on. Matthew chapter number 18. And the kids are excited. So Matthew chapter number 18. Let's stand if we can out of respect for the word and to give our legs a little bit of a stretch. As we jump in, Matthew 18, and we'll begin, we'll begin in verse number 15. Matthew 18 and verse number 15. Actually, let's just start in verse number 23. We'll get into verse 15 in a little bit. Matthew 18 and verse number 23, okay? Matthew 18 and verse number 23, this parable of the unforgiving, unmerciful servant, okay? Matthew 18 verse 23, it says this, "Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion that loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. When he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses." Let's ask the Lord's blessing on this parable and on his word here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you that we can look at and study your word this evening. Give us understanding, give us clarity. Father, I pray that you'd strengthen us and help us in this evening to be forgiving people, to be people that are exemplifying the forgiveness that you've shown us. Strengthen us here this evening. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, challenge us in areas where we have not yet forgiven, where we might be holding grudges and holding offenses. Contrary to your word, Lord, I pray that you would help us to forgive. No matter what someone has done for us, to us, Lord, it's nothing compared to what we did to you. So, Lord, strengthen us and help us in these things. Give us strength and give us help. And we'll thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We've been going through the parables and looking at some of these parables of the New Testament. And actually, it's kind of funny. In family devotions, we do various different things. We do videos. Joshua's laughing up here. Because there's one that we have done a few times. And it's kids telling Bible stories. Have you ever seen those before? Kids trying to tell Bible stories and they kind of mess them up and all that because they're little kids trying to tell Bible stories. Well, actually, one of the ones that we did last night was this very one. And so we're going to look at it here tonight. So let's real quick, as we've done with each of these, let's first go into the setting of the parable. Then we'll talk about the explanation and then application of this parable here tonight. Number one, the setting of the parable. Let's look back at verse number 15, can we? There's a clear setting of the parable that's being told here, and it's all about forgiveness. Look at Matthew 18 and verse number 15 through verse number 17. First off, the approach to forgiveness. Matthew 18 and verse 15 through 17 is what we often talk of as church discipline. That's how to take care of somebody that will not get right. Matthew 18, verse number 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two or three, or one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if you neglect to hear him, tell it to the church. But if you neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." So there are three different approaches that he gives, and they're each progressing. Number one, an individual approach. So let's explain this. We've explained it before, but let's explain it real briefly. If someone goes and someone offends in some way, they offend you, they do something hurtful to you, they sin against you, then you're supposed to first, number one, approach them individually. By the way, if we do that, there won't be nearly as many offenses, right? Amen. Right? If someone sins against you and you approach them and you say, "Hey, you did this, this was wrong what you did," one, then that person's not going to offend probably. Number two, the relationship is restored, and that's the point. So the individual approach. Well, if they neglect to hear you with the individual approach, then you take one or two witnesses with you, that in the mouth of two or three, every word may be established. That is, that you have a witness approach. So first, you go individually to the person. If Joshua offends me, I go individually to Joshua. I say, "Joshua, what you did offends me. You shouldn't be doing what you just did." Right? If he doesn't listen, then I take a few other people with me. So that way, they can verify that, hey, Joshua's just being a mean jerk. And so then we can continue on. If that doesn't work, then you bring it before the church. Okay? And that's kind of a corporate approach to go and try and get these things situated. Now you say, "Okay, Pastor, I get all that. But what on earth does this have to do with the parable?" Well, let's get into it. The approach to forgiveness, number two, the need for forgiveness. He's talking about the reality that sometimes we need to rectify our relationships. Yes? Sometimes we need to go and we need to get things right. Have you ever had something that someone really irked you, they did something wrong, and you didn't get it right? Right? And then every time they're around, it kind of bothers you that they're even there. Right? It's just this constant offense. It's like a splinter, right? Or it's this thorn in your side that you need to get out, but you don't really want to get out, right? The need for forgiveness. And all this is going to have to do with what we're talking about in just a second. The need for forgiveness. Number one, we're all family. Look at verse number 15, can we? Verse number 15. When I stop, you read the next word, okay? "Moreover, if thy," say it nice and loud. "Brother." Oh, we can say it so much louder than that. Can we say it again? "If thy brother offend thee, or shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy what, folks? Brother." Nice and simply, folks. Here's what he's saying. He's saying that you and the person that offended you, if they're a child of God, is family. You're both together. Does that make sense?
Amen.
You're family. Don't let something break it up. Don't let something diminish. Don't let something hurt your relationship together. You're family. Number one, we're all family. Number two, that is if we're saved. Number two, we all fall. The word that's used here in verse number 15 is trespass. Trespass is an interesting word. It has the idea of crossing a line. There's a line there and you cross it. I've used the illustration before of the kids. You tell the kids don't do something, and what do? They do it. Right? That's a trespass. You cross the line. And the reality is we all do that sometimes with each other, don't we? Is there anyone in this room that's married that could say that they have never pushed a button on their spouse on purpose? I doubt that, right? Pushed a button on purpose. You know it bothers them, but you kind of push it sometimes. We all fall sometimes, don't we? We all fall. Because of that, we all need forgiveness. Okay? Robert and Tammy, don't do that. They haven't been married very long, so I don't know if it's happened yet. But nonetheless, we're family. Number two, we all fall. Number three, we all have a fellowship. Look down at verse number 20, can we? Skipping some of the verses just for sake of time, but "For where two or three are gathered together in my name," what's the rest of it? "There am I in the midst of them." Why should we seek forgiveness? We need to seek forgiveness because it's not just you and the other person. Does that make sense? If Miss Nancy up here, if she offended me, Miss Nancy, I don't know that you could offend me, but if Miss Nancy offended me, okay, it's not just Nancy and me that have a problem. Am I making sense? God is in the middle of me and Nancy. Does that make sense? Where two or three are gathered together, God's in the midst. So we have a fellowship, and because of that, we need to seek forgiveness. Now, Jesus is talking about all this, and Peter speaks up. I'm taking my jacket off, okay? Peter speaks up. I love Peter. Okay? Peter jumps up, and Peter says, okay, Jesus, you're talking about forgiveness. That's great. I'm all with you here. Forgiveness is important, so let's think about this. How many times should I forgive? Now, sometimes we fall Peter, but I guarantee most of you would be thinking the exact same thing. Right? You need to forgive. You need to be willing to forgive. Peter goes and he says, okay, Jesus, how often should I forgive? I mean, what's the count here? He goes and he says, till seven times? Two reasons why he perhaps could have said till seven times. One, the Pharisees, they would forgive three times and then you're done. Okay? Pharisees would forgive three times. Number two, Jesus had said once before, I believe it's in Luke 5, could be mistaken on that reference, but before, Jesus said seven times a day you should forgive somebody. So maybe Peter's, either he's going and he's saying, hey, I'm better than Pharisees, or Peter's going and saying, hey, I remembered you said seven times. Look at me, star pupil here, right? I remember. Till seven times? And Jesus goes and says what, folks? 70 times seven. Okay? Now, this is leading into what we're talking about. Number one, our approach to forgiveness. Number two, our need for forgiveness. Number two, number three, our repetition of forgiveness. Should we do it till seven times? No. Till 70 times seven. Okay? Now, to explain what that means, he goes into the parable that we just talked about. Does that make sense? That's the setting of the parable. The setting is all about the fact that we need to forgive. You forgive and you forgive and you forgive. You approach someone to forgive, you have a need to forgive because you're family, and so we should keep on forgiving. So, he gives a parable to explain that. Now, all of this setting is going to be necessary as we get to application. Number two, let's look at the explanation of the parable. Okay? So, there are three main characters in this parable. Okay? Number one, there's the king. Look at verse number 23. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. So, there's a king. This king is going to take account of his servants. That is, he's going to look at his servants and see how much everybody owes him. Does that make sense? It's tax day in the kingdom. Okay, that's a good way of thinking. Okay, it's tax day. He needs to go and he needs to see, hey, servants, how much do you owe me? Right? Unfortunately for the king, and unfortunately for the servants, they owe a lot. So, there are two servants that are signified. Servant number one is the major debtor. Okay? So, servant number one, major debtor. Look at verse number 24. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, does anyone here know how much a you probably don't know a lot about a talent. What is a talent? It's not talking about a physical talent, right? It's not saying he owes him 10,000 ability to play the piano, right? Or anything like that. No. A talent was a weight, okay? One talent, and of course I got the marker that doesn't work here. One talent is equal to, let's get you guys' opinion, okay? How many days' wages do you think a talent would be worth? Remember, this guy owes 10,000 of them. How many days' wages? Throw out some numbers. Just throw it out.
Seven.
More than seven.
30.
More than 30. Any other numbers? Throw them out there. More.
A year. A
lot more. What?
A year?
365. More than 365. I'll give it to you. 600. One talent equals 600 days' wages. Okay? So one talent equals 600 days' wages. How much does he owe, folks? 10,000 of those. Multiply that by 10,000. And you come up with what? Carry to zero. 6 million. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yep. 6 million days' wages. Okay? If you want to do the math, I did it for you. Let's continue on. Whom he owed? First off, let's do that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Who did he owe, folks? He owed the king, right? He owed the king, and he owed the king a huge amount. What he owed? 1 talent equals 600 days labor. Okay? So just 1 talent is $114,000. Okay? If you do the average day's wage in the United States, 1 talent is $114,000. So, 10,000 talents is, get this, $1,140,000,000. Are you all with me here? So, servant owes the master $1,140,000. Or, if you want to actually do it in years, 16,438 years of work. So, he owes him, you would agree, a huge amount, yes? You might be in debt, but I hope you're not $1 billion in debt, right? This is a huge amount for one family to do. Look at what the guy says. Look at it, verse number 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, yeah, obviously, right? His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. Now, back in Bible times, even if you were the best of the best kind of servant, you would maybe get about a talent per person. If you were a really amazing person, you get about a talent per person. So, he's saying, well, you can't pay anything, so we'll just sell what you have. Okay? Continue on. Verse number 26. The servant, therefore, fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Sometimes, phrases in the Bible make me laugh. This is one. If you're just patient with me for the next 16,000 years, then I promise I will pay every penny back. Right? That's what he's saying. Just be patient with me. I'll pay it all back. The king is looking here, and he's looking, and he's like, is this guy going to be able to pay him back the money back? Yes or no? No, there's no possible way. Correct? No possible way. It is not happening. Right? Not happening. So he goes to him, and he says, you know what? Forget it. Look at it. Verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So, straight up, this guy that ran up $1,140,000,000 in debt goes to the king, says, King, please forgive me. The king goes, says, there's no possible way you can pay this off. I forgive you. You all with me here? Now, continue on with the story. The man then goes out. What he got? He was moved with compassion. He completely forgave him. He goes out and he finds the minor debtor. The minor debtor. Continue on. I just noticed I had a math error here. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now, do you remember what a penny was back in Bible times? We've used it before. It was what? 1 day's wage. Okay? It's not a penny like we think of. It was 1 day's wage. How much do you make in 1 day? So, 100 pence. Right? So, 1 penny, or a pence, equals 1 day. Okay? 1 day's wage, I did the math. It's $190 average in the United States. Okay? Per day you work. On average, that's assuming high, low, everything, on average, $190. So we'll use that. Okay? So he owes 100 of that, which would be what? Good amount, 19,000. Okay? Good amount, but is it compared to the other person? Yes or no? Servant one owes how much? A billion. We'll round. Servant two owes what? 19,000. Here's what servant one does to servant two. Continue on. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Does that sound familiar at all? It's exactly the same phrase. Exactly the same. Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Verse 30. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. It means almost they were sickened. That's literally the word that's used. It's almost like all the other servants saw that and it got them sick. They were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? What's the point here? You all with me here? You get this parable is pretty simple, isn't it? We owed the king, the Lord, a debt we could never pay. Yes? $1 billion, literally, in this story. Okay? A debt we could possibly never pay. We go to the Lord, we say, Lord, if you just give us time, God says, nope, forget it, I'll forgive you outright. Right? Free forgiveness. But what do? We do what Peter did. How many times do I need to forgive somebody? When can I finally get back? I won't forgive him.
Amen.
That guy, he owes me $19,000. I can't believe it. You know what we did? We forgot what God's forgiven us.
Yeah. Amen.
That's the point of the parable, isn't it? That God has forgiven us so much. And we go and we grab people by the throat and say, you did wrong to me. And we get so angry and so upset because we haven't realized how much we've been forgiven. And it sickens God just as much as it sickened those servants to see how we treat each other. I was talking to somebody just this past week. Talking to somebody, and they were talking about, again, just bringing up how people had hurt them in the past and how it bothered them. Can I tell you, folks, if you're that way, can't we just forgive? Christ has forgiven us.
Amen.
Right? We don't realize how much Christ has forgiven us. That's why we can't forgive others. Let's look at the application of this parable, can we? The application of the parable. Number one, the reality of forgiveness. What should forgiveness be? We see what real forgiveness is from the king's response. Number one, real forgiveness is felt forgiveness. Verse 27. When he goes and falls down, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was, what's the phrase? Moved with compassion. Can I tell you, friends, when you have forgiveness, when you have real, true forgiveness, there's a compassion for the person. This guy owed the king $1 billion. Big money. But he's moved with compassion. Why? Because he cared more about the other person than he cared about his stuff. You all with me here? Folks, catch this. You have to get to a point, in order for you to forgive, you have to get to a point where you care about the other person more than you care about yourself. You all with me here? That's real forgiveness. You will never, 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 never forgive until you care more about the other person than you care about yourself. It's the reality of selfishness versus selflessness. You will not forgive until you're moved with compassion and you feel for them. Number one, true forgiveness is felt forgiveness. Number two, true forgiveness is full forgiveness. 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. What does that mean? That means he did exactly that. He forgave the debt. There was nothing that servant owed anymore. Y'all with me here? He didn't have to pay it back. He didn't get a loan repayment plan. Right? He didn't have to do debt reconsolidation. None of it. It was fully forgiven. It was gone. It was done. Can I tell you, friends, a lot of the stuff we call forgiveness is not forgiveness. A lot of the stuff we call forgiveness is penance. Right? Well, if you do this, then I'll forgive you. Can I tell you, if you live that way, you're not going to have a good marriage. You're not going to have good relationships. You will always be wanting a little bit more. Real forgiveness is full forgiveness. You messed up, let's move forward. That's real forgiveness. That's how Christ forgave us, isn't it? Truth? That's how Christ forgave us. Christ didn't expect in return. Christ didn't demand in return. No. He fully forgave, and we should fully forgive. Number three, true forgiveness is free forgiveness. Verse number 32, jump down. Then his Lord, after that he called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt. Why? You see it? Verse 32, why? Because thou desirest me. What's he saying? He's saying, I freely forgave you. Why? Why did Christ forgive us, friends? Did Christ forgive us because we were good people?
No.
Did Christ forgive us because we had something to show God? Did he forgive us because he was, oh man, I sure hope they like me? No, none of that. Christ forgave us freely. Why? Because we needed him to. We asked him to. We desired him to. And he forgave us. Truth?
Amen.
He forgave us freely. So why do we always have caveats to forgiving? Well, if they stop doing it, then I'll forgive them. Well, you know, if they feel really bad about it, then I'll forgive them. You know, if they're really sorry. They're not really sorry, Pastor, so why should I forgive them? They did this, so why would I forgive? I shouldn't have to forgive. I hear crazy stuff like that all the time. Can I tell you, friends? If that's your heart, then you don't understand what Christ has done for you. You don't understand how much you've been forgiven. Anything that anybody has done to you, I'm not trying to diminish what people have done to you. Okay? I'm not into that. Obviously, $19,000 is still a big debt. You with me here? Still a big debt. I'm not diminishing what anyone does, what anyone's done for you. But what I am saying, nice and simply, is this. Hey, if you can't forgive them, then you don't see what Christ has forgiven you. One sin should have sent you to hell. One. The wages of sin, singular, is death. One sin should have sent you to hell. How many of you have sinned more than once?
Amen.
Every one of us. A lot more. A lot more. Christ freely forgave us, and we should freely forgive others. Felt forgiveness. Full forgiveness. Free forgiveness. Number four, true forgiveness, the reality of real forgiveness, is a focused forgiveness. Verses 31 through 32, it's talking about the servants being upset. Verse 32, it talks about how the king himself was very upset about it. Verse 33, catch it. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Ephesians 4:32, you probably have heard it. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The reality of true forgiveness is this. It doesn't matter what someone else has done. I can forgive anybody for anything because Christ has forgiven me of everything. That's the reality. The focus is not, you see the difference. The difference between the debtor, right, that's not forgiving his fellow debtor, and the king is the fact that the king is focused on the person. The debtor is focused on the debt. Does that make sense? Major debtor is focused on the other debt. I deserve that $19,000, and you're going to pay me back right now. Right? The king was focused on the person. Why would I send him into slavery? Why would I do those things? I don't want to do that. That's the difference. Number one, the reality of forgiveness. Number two, and this is where it gets serious, the danger of unforgiveness. Now, this phrase is a tough phrase, verse 34 and 35. A tough phrase. Look at it. Verse 34 and 35. And his Lord was wroth, that means extremely angry, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. What does this mean? Seems, it's simple reading, is that the king went and sent him to tormentors, right? Till he had to pay everything back, right? And he goes on, Jesus goes and says, if you don't forgive, then I'll do the same thing to you. Pastor, what is this saying? Three options here, and then we'll close. Option one is that the guy lost his salvation. I have a problem with that, obviously. Right? I have a problem with that.
Amen.
I don't believe that that is anywhere in the Bible that we lose our salvation. Option two is that he never had it in the first place. I'm a lot more there. 1 John 4 and verse number 20, he that hates his brother is not of the Lord. 1 John talks about that a lot. Let me quote it exactly. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 20 here. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 20. If you want to turn over there, you can, although you don't have to. 1 John 4 and verse number 20, it says this. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So the theory is that he was never really had salvation. I have a few concerns about this too. Because the king did forgive him. Right? The king forgave him. Here's what I think it means, number three. And this is after studying it, thinking about it, praying about it, here's where I fell. Verse number 35. Option three, he was bitter. He didn't have the assurance of his salvation. He had all the weight upon him. He didn't feel the forgiveness of God. Can I tell you, friends, not everyone that's going to heaven is going to love everything about heaven. You with me here? The Bible talks about how there's some that go to heaven that are in the outer parts of heaven, right? And see into hell. The Bible describes that. We talked about it once in a Bible question and answer about a year and a half ago or something like that. The Bible actually describes that. I take this as someone that's gone and they have been forgiven. They refuse to forgive. When you refuse to forgive, what happens? There's bitterness that eats you. It devours you. It consumes you. It's a tormentor. Hebrews 12:15 talks about a root of bitterness can spring up and it can defile many. It can eat through. It's a poison that spreads all throughout. Can I tell you, friends? That's the reality of unforgiveness. That's what unforgiveness does. It goes and it devours and it tears us apart. I believe what's being said in this passage is not necessarily that he had to pay all of his $1 billion back in debt. I think what it's saying, nice and simply, is he's saying now he's no longer going to debtor's prison. He's going to prison. He's going to pay the fines. He's going to suffer because of his lack of love and compassion. Can I tell you, friends, the worst place to be as a Christian, the worst place to be is outside of the will of God. God doesn't allow fellow Christians to go and to live like unsaved people. He doesn't. And God will judge you if you choose to not forgive. The reality is simply put, as Jesus said, the Father will do that to you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone, his brother, their trespasses. If there's somebody in your life that you haven't forgiven, you refuse to forgive them. It might be someone from your past. It might be someone that's hurt you in the past. I'm not diminishing what they did in the slightest, but I am saying compared to what Jesus has forgiven you, you can forgive them.
Amen.
Y'all with me here?
Amen.
You can forgive them. You can forgive. So it's about time you and I, as Christians, get to the point where we're willing to forgive.
Right.
Stop focusing on the hurt. Start focusing on what Christ has done for you. Start focusing on the person. Have compassion. Have love. Go and have free, full forgiveness. Doesn't matter what's happened. God can help you through. You say, Pastor, that's hard. I know it's hard. I get that it's hard. Okay? I'm not saying it's easy. But what I am saying is when we start thinking about what Christ has done for us, it gets a whole lot easier. When we start thinking, if that servant had just taken a moment and thought about how much he'd been forgiven, I guarantee you he wouldn't have made a big deal about $19,000. Right? No way. No way he would have. If he had realized how much he'd been forgiven from the Master, then any of the other hurts, they're minimal. They're trivial. They're not major compared to eternity in heaven. It's all minor. So be willing to forgive. Friends, if there's someone in your life that you haven't forgiven, you've refused to tonight, get it settled. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Jesus says on numerous occasions, if you're not willing to forgive, then why should I be willing to forgive you? Don't play games with this. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I'm not going to have a come forward invitation. I normally don't on a Wednesday. But I do want to have an actual invitation so I can pray for folks. You say, Pastor, there's a situation that I am struggling forgiving. I feel kind of like I've forgiven, but then it comes back. Or I've just never forgiven. I'm just holding this thing. I'm not letting go. Pastor, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with this topic of forgiveness. I know I need to, but I just struggle sometimes. Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Pray that I can think about what Christ has done for me and that I can forgive. If there's someone in this room that says, hey, I'm there. I'm struggling with forgiving. Pastor, I need you to pray for me that I can forgive. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Testimony of the Lord. Good. Thank you. Several hands. Let's go before the Lord, can we? I'm going to pray. And then after I'm done praying, I'm going to kind of stop. You pray. And you pray in your heart. Say, Lord, help me. Help me to forgive. Help me forgive. I encourage all of us to go and seek our hearts and say, is there someone that I haven't forgiven? Is there someone I'm still holding a grudge with? If there's someone that when you see them, you don't want to be around them, then you haven't forgiven them. There's someone that when you see them, you want to bring up something that happened in the past, you haven't forgiven them. Just haven't forgiven. You need to forgive. God's been good to you, so you can be good to someone else. Let's go before the Lord, can we? When I stop, you seek God's face for a moment, and then we'll close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands, you know the hearts, you know what's going on in each circumstance, in each situation. Father, several raised their hands and said that they need to have a spirit of forgiveness. Lord, you have been so good to us. You've forgiven us of so much. And Lord, there's no reason on this planet why we should not forgive someone else. So, Lord, I pray for these few that raised their hands and said that they need to get something settled. I pray that through all of it, that they would make that happen. That they would, as your word says, Lord, go to the person and make it right. As we talked about even earlier, that they go and admit that someone else has hurt them and take the steps of reconciliation that are found in Matthew 18. Lord, in their spirit, if it's sin within the spirit, that, Lord, they would anew and afresh forgive. Father, help us all to examine our hearts to see if we have that same spirit. The spirit that's not focused on how good you've been, but focused on how bad someone else has been. Strengthen us, help us in these things, Father. As we seek your face, Lord, I pray that you reveal any issues, any struggles, any problems in our life, any area where we're still holding out, any areas where we're just not focusing on how good you've been. Lord, help us in this time to praise you for your goodness and your grace, and Lord, to get right what needs to get right. Right now, help us to see.